Let's take our Bibles, please. 2 Kings chapter number 5 this morning, please. 2 Kings in chapter number 5. Let's all stand to our feet, please, in honor of God's Word. 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. Second Kings chapter number 5, verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that was in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes, and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do ask now, Lord, I ask for your help. I ask for your wisdom. I ask for the Spirit of God to be upon me to say exactly what I'm supposed to say. Lord, today is such an incredible time, and what a wonderful privilege it is to be in the house of God, to hear the Word of God preached, and for it to change and affect our lives for you. And so, Lord, that's what we pray for today. I pray that if there's one in this room today that does not know for sure 100%, that if they die, they go to heaven, Lord, that they would settle that matter of salvation today. Lord, you know the need of each person in this room. Would you please meet it? Would you please fill it today? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 5 this morning is a story, very interesting story in the Word of God about this man named Naaman. He was not a Jew. He was of the country of Syria, and they were enemies to Israel. He went into Israel, God's people, and spoiled them and took of the spoil, and they happened to take a little maid with them. And I want you to see today the life of Naaman and who he was. There's some things that we can learn here, and I want you to see, number one, in verse number one, we learn about him that he was a leper. Number one, we see his condition. Now watch this, listen to me. This is the worst, most dreaded, most feared disease of that time. If you were to get leprosy, it meant that you'd be separated from your family. It meant that you'd be separated from those you love. It was literally a death sentence. And this great man, verse number one is so amazing. It tells of all his accolades. And look at it now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was captain, was a great man with his master. And it talks about all of his greatness and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He had a condition. He was a leper. And watch this. This passage of Scripture is such an incredible picture of salvation and how we need to see ourselves, how we need to understand and look and analyze ourselves. Most people do not get saved and will not accept Christ as a personal Savior because they can't get over the fact that they have to humble themselves and lower themselves to see them the way God sees them. And that's the reason why most people don't get saved, because they want a work salvation. They want I want to prove to God how good I am. I use this analogy often, but I think of it kind of this. If I were to walk up to Tiger Woods, I don't know if you like golf, but if you don't, you're not saved. No, I love golf. I do. I enjoy it very much, and I love golf. I love to play it, love to watch it, love to breathe it, whatever. But I enjoy golf. I don't like Tiger Woods, but that's beside the point. If you like him, you're not saved either. But I don't like Tiger Woods. But if I were to meet him, he is the greatest golfer of this time. And if I were to walk up to him and say, hey, Mr. Woods, Tiger, Eldrick, as I like to call him, hey, sir, I'm Matt Williams. Who? I play golf also. Oh, that's nice. You see how foolish that is? And watch this. He wouldn't know me from a hole in the ground. He wouldn't. He wouldn't know. He would not know. He would not care. Watch this. I can't even touch the hem of his garment when it comes to the profession that he's in. And it's amazing how many people play God. And one day they're going to stand before God and say, hey, God, I'm here. You've been waiting for me, huh? Hey, I'm here. I'm the good person. You know that really good person you were waiting for? That's me. And God's going to say, who? See, why would a perfect God be impressed by a fallen man? He's not. We need to understand, listen to me, we need to analyze and look at our lives and understand that we need to see ourselves the way that God sees us, as sinners. This man, Naaman, though his accolades were great, though he was a great man, watch this, he had a condition. He was a leper. He needed help. Literally, this man had no hope. In biblical times, he had no hope. But for the sake of a man named Jesus who healed some lepers and a couple other instances in the Word of God where a miracle happened, there was no hope for this. He's literally going to die. And he knows it. But continue to read, please, if you would. Look at verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with a prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Watch this. And one went in and told his Lord. No, think with me for just a moment. You have a death sentence. Literally, you are a certain amount of time away from dying. And someone were to come in and say, hey, there might be hope. Could you imagine that? Hey, for those of you who are saved in this room, remember when hope was brought to you? You remember when somebody cared enough to show you the gospel of Jesus Christ and showed you that your lost and sinful condition, there was hope for that? There was hope. I can only imagine the emotions running through Naaman here. I mean, you know, I don't want to get too excited. What do I do? Is this true? Can you imagine with me for just a second as he's thinking, man, I could be healed. I mean, there's somebody that could heal me of this. I mean, I could touch my wife again. I could love on my family. I could see my children again. That life could be restored to me again. Is this for real? Continue to read, please, verse number 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. Number one, we see his condition. He was a leper. He had a need. Number two, we see the possibility of him being healed. But number three, I want you to see this. Naaman wanted it on his terms. Can I just share with you, and I want you to listen very carefully, if we are going to come to Christ and we are going to be saved people, we are to be saved individuals, we must come to Christ on his terms. It's not our terms. It's his terms. And Naaman here, though he wants to be healed, though that's his greatest need in his life, he's coming thinking in his mind, it's going to be on my terms. He's going to realize who I am. Let me show that with you. Look at verse number 7, please. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. This king of Israel's, he's in a bind here. Another king who just defeated him in a battle says, hey, by the way, the guy who just beat you, I'm sending him and you better heal him. Great. thanks a lot. Remind me when I was God. He's like, hey, come on now. And he's freaking out here. He's saying, there's no way I can heal this guy. What's he thinking? He rents his clothes. He's in mourning. Look at verse number 8, please. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Can you see him in his illustrious might coming to Elisha's door there? He's got his horses and his chariots and his servants and everything. Hey, Elisha, I'm here. What are you going to do for me? Look at it. It's exactly how he comes. Verse number 9, so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. In verse 10, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Can I just share with you? He wasn't interested at first in getting healed. He was interested in making a scene. Continue to read that verse 10. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11, but Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. See, Naaman had all in his mind how this thing was going to play out. I mean, the man of God is going to come out to mighty Naaman. And he's going to call on the name of his God. And something big is going to happen. He strike the place and boom, it's going to happen. And Naaman can go back and say, I'm healed. They healed me. You know what the command was? Go wash yourself in a nasty, dirty river. Go wash yourself in a nasty, dirty river and you'll be clean. He was ticked off. You know how many people, listen to me, you know how many people, when they understand what God's word says about salvation, get mad? I don't believe that. I'll never forget, dear lady, I can tell you, I could take you to her house right now. I was up knocking just north of here, knocking doors. I'll never forget it. She's probably in her late 80s, early 90s. And I knocked on the lady's door and she came and I began to present to her the gospel of Jesus Christ and to witness to her. And she said, I don't believe that. And she said her denomination of belief, and she said, I believe that if I follow my church, I'll be okay, and I'll get to heaven through my church and all this stuff. And I began to try and show her from the Word of God. And we were battling back and forth, and she says, well, my church says, and I said, well, the Bible says, and she says, well, my church says, and I said, well, the Bible says, and we were going back and forth, and she just finally said this, look, I don't care what the Bible says. If it goes against my church, I'll take my church. I said, okay, ma'am. Have a nice day. But watch this. Listen to me. We'll say, oh my goodness, I can't believe she would say that. But can I just ask, how many of us are just playing Baptists? Well, I was born a Baptist and I just sat in a chair and I've just always been a Christian. Nobody has always been a Christian. See, the whole point is this right here, is that we have a need. We are sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We must understand and see that we have a condition of sin in our lives, and it must be paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ through salvation, by grace through faith. That's our only hope. That's our only hope, and we must understand that. Listen to me, we can't play this game. We can't say, well, I've just always been, or I just always have, or I was just raised, or I was just taught, or I was just this. There must be a time in our lives. Salvation is not a process, it's a decision. Have you made that decision? Is there been a time where you could go back and with your never dying soul say, I have trusted Christ as my personal Savior? You know that there's a time. See, that's so important. We must see this man here, he didn't want it on the man of God's terms. He wasn't really that interested in being healed. He had his own thinking on the subject. Well, I've got my own, I see how it will be planned out. Watch this. And he's on his way back to his homeland, still a leper. That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear is that people will come into the house of God and hear the Word of God preached and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be that close to getting saved and will turn around and go back to their homes and not accept Christ. This man turns around and he leaves. But I want you to continue with the story, if you would, please. Verse number 12, he says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" Watch this. He was once again interested in his own ways. Why can't I do this? Well, why can't I do that? Well, why can't I just be a good person? Well, why can't I just give to my church? Well, why can't I just be baptized? Why isn't that good enough for salvation? It's not good enough for salvation because it's not the command. It's not the command. The command is, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift, not of works, lest any man should boast." That's what the command is. I didn't make the command. God did. God gave us the command that you must be saved. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's God's plan, not our plan. Verse number 13. I love this. "And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." The last thing we see about Naaman is this: he was healed. Can I just share with you? If you'll come to God on his terms, and you'll come humbled and say, "I need a Savior," you'll be clean. January 27, 1991, 14-year-old boy, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Did I deserve it? Oh, no. Oh, no. Should I go to hell? Oh, yes. I should. But I don't have to. And I won't. Not because of who I am, but because of who He is and what He did for me. And that I just simply, by simple faith, trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's so simple. The Word of God makes it so simple. But we, through pride and through our own thinking, try to make salvation so difficult. I want us to see and consider a couple things this morning for those of us in this room who are saved, for those of us who know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. See, this isn't just a passage on salvation. This is a passage on some serious sacrifice by a few people. And I want you to see it. There's three people that I want you to see. Number one is the little maid. Look at it with me again in the first couple verses there. In verse number 2, it says that she was brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. But can I just share with you? Listen to me. She never forgot where she came from. Can I just share something else, an attribute of hers? She never forgot who her God was. She never did. She never did. Listen to me. And when there was a need, she pointed them to the Savior, to the one that could heal them. Hey, can I just ask you, Christian, today, how are we doing on that? How are we doing on that? Can I just share with you? She could have been killed for what she said. Think about it for just a minute. This is the most deadly disease that had ever hit them. And this little girl, this little maid, she says, "Oh, if he'd go to my country, there's a man that could heal him." Come on. Come on now. Are you serious? There's somebody that can heal leprosy? I don't think so. Hey, watch this. Naaman could have had the attitude of, "This little girl's a storyteller. Just get rid of her. Just kill her." Listen to me. With her life in her own hands, she said, "Hey, I need to tell you how you can have hope." It's amazing to me how many of us as Christians don't tell people about Christ. And it has nothing to do with, if we do, we'll be killed. It has to do with, if I do, they might laugh at me, or they might make fun of me. or they might change their opinion of me, or I just don't want to. I just don't want to. I don't want to tell people about Christ. See, this little maid here is an amazing Bible character. Two verses the Bible says about her, but in those two verses, the Bible says she pointed somebody for him to be clean. Can I just ask you, when was the last time you grabbed somebody and said, hey, can I just share with you the gospel? Can I show you somebody who can make you clean? Somebody who could help you with that sin habit that is affecting your life. This little maid. The other two are the servants that we just read about. These servants. Look at what they say. It's an incredible passage of scripture there. Look at verse 13. And his servants. He's in a rage. Look at the last word of verse number 12. And went away in a rage. You ever try to talk to somebody when they're in a rage? I mean, they're angry. And it's like, get away from me. These are servants. I mean, these are, you do what you're told or else. You know, keep your mouth shut. The master's angry. Watch this. And at risk of their own life, they came to him. Look at the words that they use. I mean, are they buttering him up or what? Look at verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father. They came to him and they said, you're everything to us. We serve you. We don't want to lose you. You are literally our everything. And look, we know you can do the great things. Hey, if he'd have told you to go conquer some city, you'd have gone and done that. Wouldn't you please just simply dip? Wouldn't you please just do the little thing? Watch this. And the next verse says this. He turned around and went there and was clean. What an attribute of these servants here. They just said, you know what? We need our master. We need him. Can I just ask you this? Is there somebody in your life that you need to be saved? Is there somebody that you care more about them than you do yourself? And you beg God for them to be saved. With Pastor being gone, I've been doing the prayer line, and I see that list of the people who we love that are on that salvation list. My older sister, as far as I know, is not a Christian. And there are times in my life where I just think, you know, is it really worth it to pray one more day, to ask one more time? As I taught in my Sunday school class today on the subject of prayer, watch this. There's a testimony of D.L. Moody. It says he prayed for 50 years for three friends to be saved. And those three friends, before they died, after 50 years of prayer, got saved. I don't know about you, but 50 years is a long time. I have a hard time having 50 days of continual prayer for those that I love. Having 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, don't you feel like just giving up? Don't you feel like just saying, well, I guess God's saying no? No, the Bible says in the book of James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That fervency means you stick with it until it's answered. Stick with it. These dear men here just said, you know what? This has to happen for us. This is our one shot of him being healed. And we got to care enough to say something. We got to care enough to do our part to win people to Christ. Sadly, though, I know in my life many times I'm more like Gehazi, Elisha's servant. And that's a danger that I want to bring before you today before we close. See, this servant of Elisha is the end of the story. Look with me at verse number 20, please. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lightened down from the chariot to meet him, and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in his house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. This man here decided that possessions and things were more important than the service of God, more important than doing God's work. He looked at it as, well, I deserve that. I deserve that. After all, I mean, I do this. After all, I do this every week. After all, I'm faithful. After all, don't I deserve? Watch this. When did doing God's work deserve an earthly reward? Because from what I can see from the Word of God, the reward is when we see Christ one day. The reward is when we look at him and he says, what you did was for me, was for my honor, was for my glory. What you did was for me. See, Gehazi had it all wrong here. And it ended up causing him to lie to the man of God. I know of two places in the Word of God where a person lied directly to the man of God. This passage and the passage of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts. All I know is this. Both times didn't turn out so good for any of them. See, we've got to understand this. We must understand that our job as a Christian is to be the witness that we're supposed to be, never forgetting who our God was, never forgetting what he's done for us, never forgetting that he loved us and saved us and that he washed and cleansed us from sin. Hey, and now we can do that for others as we point them to Christ. Last one, I'll finish. Just want to ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life where you've been clean, where your sins have been forgiven? Do you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, you're on your way to heaven because you've been saved, doing it God's way, not your way? And number two, are you the right kind of servant today? Are you the type of servant who says, you know what, doesn't matter what it costs me. Doesn't matter. I must point others to Christ. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for this privilege to look at the Word of God today. And we thank you, Lord, that we could learn some lessons about the life of Naaman and about these servants. Lord, help us to learn from the life of Gehazi, not to let possessions and things blur our minds from doing the work of God. Lord, bless in a mighty way, I pray in Jesus' name. With head bowed and eye closed.